Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Coming up on show 609, an all-electric Audi TT. Why NASCAR could be going electric, and your answers to question of the week. Well, those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee. This is the edition for Sunday, 13th of October. And thank you, as always, to myev.com for helping me make this show, whether it's during the week or whether it's the weekend editions. I mean, they're always there at myev.com, connecting buyers and sellers with used EVs in mind. If it has a plug and it's looking for a second home, then you'll be checking out myev.com. Yeah, let's kick off with news about that Audi TT then, set to morph into an all-electric crossover. According to the Auto Express website, the Audi TT prepares to transform into a new all-electric SUV. Exclusive images put online by Auto Express show how it could look, done a mock-up, and it is much more of a SUV crossover style. So not a big people carrier, but it's definitely an Audi TT, perhaps raised a little bit. But this is just how they think it might look. Audi bosses have finally settled on the proposal for the next generation of TT, a crossover and a fully electric powertrain, according to Auto Express. There's been a fierce boardroom battle, they say, within the German company over how the next TT should evolve. It's been a debate that's raged since 2014, when the firm's then boss Rupert Stadler proposed the idea that the model could develop into a petrol, sportback, or crossover model. Since then, well, lots of diesel-related brand damage for various automakers has gone under the bridge, and so many of them are looking at opportunities to electrify. Audi has fast-tracked its electrification plans, and dwindling sales for the Audi TT have forced the firm into a radical rethink. So far this year, Audi sold only 8,700 of the coupes and 3,000 plus a bit roadster editions of the TT. That's globally, though. And that's woeful. You think back at when the TT really was a groundbreaking car. When did I buy mine? I bought mine in 2000. Yes, a W. No, it'd be after 2000. It's a W Reg. And so it was registered in 2000. I got mine when it was a couple of years old. So maybe 2002, I had my Audi TT. Beautiful blue. Oh man, what a car. What a car. It was a different time. I was a different person as well. I would never have even dreamed 16, 17 years ago of driving an all-electric car. The idea of emissions never even crossed my mind. And man, oh man, did I have a lot of smiles in that Audi TT. But if they make an electric version that's all electric, I could well be persuaded back behind the wheel of the next generation Audi TT. That'd be some sort of nice, kind of sweet going full circle story there. I think it's a beautiful looking car still, but not for me these days. Okay, let's move on and talk about rental cars that are all electric. A new rental car company renting out only electric vehicles. Quaco? K-W-A-K-O. Quaco? Anyway, a new rental car company that will only be renting out pure EVs will be officially launched on Friday, October 25th. The rent-a-car brand is part of a group that is describing themselves as a new mobility experience. Well, a couple of buzzwords in there. It's for tourists who are visiting the Algarve. The company is only going to rent out two-seaters, the two-seater electric vehicles for tourists coming to the area. And that is a website called PortugalResident.com. Who says we don't give you any EV news from Portugal? Well, maybe no one's ever said that, but there you go. There's your dose of Portuguese EV news. for your weekend edition. But brilliant. Another company looking at vehicles to rent out and going, you know what? We're going to do that with all EVs. I can't find the cars they're going to be using, but if they are little two-seaters, what could they be? Are they going to be the tandem two-seaters that are Renault Twizys or maybe something else? I'll do a bit more research and I'll let you know. Right, two more stories, and this is not happy news, but we will end with surprising news with our final story. But bear with me through this one. As you know, this podcast is unashamedly positive about EVs, but occasionally we do have to touch on one of the reasons why the EV momentum happened so much faster than all the car companies really wanted. And no, that's not Tesla. They are a big part of it, though. But it was Dieselgate. And it was what happened there and then what forced the hand of the emissions regulators, particularly in California and Europe, by the way. Now, German carmaker Daimler is recalling hundreds of thousands of Mercedes-Benz vehicles, including the Sprinter van models, over diesel emissions issues. Well, Daimler said very late on Friday night, so late I couldn't get it into the Saturday edition of the podcast. They said on Friday night that Germany's road traffic regulator, they're called the KBA. The KBA concluded hearings over Mercedes-Benz diesel engines and have ordered Daimler to carry out recalls. The Weekly, called Bild am Sonntag, reported a recall of Mercedes-Benz vans imminent after the KBA warned that the transporter vans may contain illegal engine management software. So, we have a quote here from the company. Mercedes-Benz customers will be notified in writing over further actions if their vehicle is subject to the recall and a software update can be installed. Well, the company said that a medium six-figure number of vehicles would be affected. Medium six-figure. Should we call it 500,000? Should we call it 500,000? Because it's six figures and it's medium. They didn't say the number, but so we're going to put a number on it until they say, yes, it's 500,000. Wow, that's just huge, isn't it? They said they're fully cooperating with the regulator. KBA proceedings with regard to engine control functionality were far advanced but not concluded. More orders from the regulator, therefore, could still not be ruled out. How are we still talking about diesel emissions stories on this podcast? Almost into 2020. How wide, how far, how deep did all of this diesel stuff go into every nook and cranny of just about every car company, it seems? And we've come such a long way since VW got busted for the first Dieselgate story when it was a rogue or a handful of rogue engineers was the very first thing that we very first heard about Dieselgate. And as is always the case, time will find you out. And you are either going to be, when we all toddle off this earth, you're either going to be on the right side or the wrong side of history. Now, you can protest, but in the fullness of time, you will be found out if you're trying to hide something. And you're either going to be on the right side or the wrong side of history. And so it is being proven. Let's finish off. NASCAR could introduce hybrid cars and maybe even full electric cars. That's fascinating, right? That's really, really interesting because so many people who watch NASCAR, and this isn't painting with broad brushstrokes, but you must admit that there will be plenty of NASCAR fans who go along to watch the, ooh, what is it, a V8 in a NASCAR? I don't know, I've never paid enough attention to what is in a NASCAR. Might be slightly horrified at the idea of a hybrid, but panic ye not, my friends, if you're a NASCAR fan. Your big, stinky combustion engine is going nowhere, but the beauty of electric power. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're one of the converted. However, the beauty of hybrid power in something like a race engine, like a NASCAR engine, is that it can give you an instant kick when you need the power of the batteries, and then the engine can catch up, because electric power is so much more advanced than 100-year-old burning dinosaur technology. So what they might do is when the cars are braking or coasting or losing speed, they'll recharge a battery and then they will use that hybrid power to give you a kick out of the corners in NASCAR. Coming 2022, manufacturers like Toyota, I imagine, in NASCAR, Ford as well, be very happy about this. Manufacturers like GM, for instance, who are sidestepping hybrids because it was nice 10 years ago, sidestepping hybrids and moving into full EV, may be pushing for NASCAR to go full EV quicker than anybody would presume. So, it's a big NASCAR story, but what do you think about any of the stories you've heard on today's podcast? You can let me know by emailing hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on the socials or the YouTube comments. And that's what brings us to question of the week this week. I was asking you on question of the week, which segment of transport do we need to identify quickly to make the biggest difference? And thank you very much to everyone who's got in contact. Jay Donald, 2001, says we should electrify commercial trucks. A huge gap in efficiency. DRK says, I wish everyone was doing the same way as it was going down in China, changing out fleets, entire fleets of buses, taxis, and now even dump trucks I told you about earlier in the week. They're taking air quality and emissions seriously. E-tripping with Adam Gebbett says the most important electrified transport conversion is the shipping industry. Vessels carry everything we consume around the world using low-grade oil to power them. Yes, Adam. And in some cases, not even low-grade oil. Sometimes it's like the tar. It's almost a solid. They have to heat this stuff up so that it turns into something which they can then burn. They literally have solid chunks of, when you refine oil and you've got the petrol and the diesel and the aviation fuel, if it's high quality stuff, and everything right down to the very, very bottom, the stuff which is nothing but wastes, nothing but the worst of the worst, distilled crud, everything that you really don't want to be burning. They chop it into blocks and then they put it onto ships. Whizzer says, buses. I'm a bus driver, and it would be amazing to take a nice, smooth, quiet bus out. He would even take a pay cut to do that. One that doesn't break down, one that doesn't leak diesel. Hello to PD Ken. Two main benefits of EVs, reducing CO2 and pollution in cities. CO2 can be tackled by electrifying trucks, giving vehicles which are likely to do higher annual mileages than private cars. Full electrification is the greatest benefit. Totally agree with you. Hi to Steve Roth. The US Postal Service should be first, because they drive 6 days a week, at slow speed, around our homes and towns, and they break a lot. Regen would be amazing for those postal vehicles. It wouldn't maybe work in winter without an auxiliary heater, he says, but heated seats, heated steering wheel. Your show is tops, says Steve. Well, thank you very much. Good man. Thank you for your comment. Hello to Mike in Oklahoma. School buses are the most important vehicles to become electric. In the US, there are three times the number of school buses versus municipal buses. Not to mention, they carry children. We want them to have the cleanest air to breathe. Yes, how very unfunny that we put our children in some of the worst environments. Hello to Louis, or Luis Janiero. I think the aim should be to maximise the quantity of fossil fuels that each kilowatt hour of battery we produce is able to substitute. He's really thought this one through. Many people will be arguing that buses and trucks are the most important because they're bigger and more polluting, but because they carry a lot of people or a lot of goods, they are an efficient use of fossil fuels. I would electrify the segments with the worst performance of fossil use per person per kilometre or per tonne per kilometre. And he's really put that to the test. And I love his thinking. Hello to Bruno Ariola. Here in the United States, the combined annual mileage of semi-trucks is around 140 billion miles, according to the HDS Driving Institute. If we could electrify all of those trucks. I know that's the dream, isn't it? That is the dream. Hello to Munaver, who says, I've just lost your comment, here we go. My answer to the question of the week is to convert ships and trains to electric propulsion and then pick up trucks or utes, as we call them here in Australia. Also, Martin, please talk about EV transformation in South America, India, Southeast Asia, Russia, the Middle East and Africa. I never hear them mentioned. Okay, good feedback. Thank you. Hello to David Chung in America. The blindingly obvious vehicles are pickup trucks, which are not subject to emissions regulations, aren't they? Aren't they? Surely they are. Pickup trucks are not subject to emissions regulations, nor minimum MPG targets in the UK. What about minibuses and vehicles operated by councils? For many years, the ICE sports car in general should be banned in their entirety, as they are dedicated to wasting dino juice in as short a period as possible. Hello to John Frueth, says we should, in priority sequence, electrify buses because they carry millions of people. Last mile delivery vehicles. Yes, I agree. Long haul trucks, civic service vehicles, and finally heavy equipment. Bulldozers, backhoes, and road graders. Hello to Jan from Montreal. In my opinion, the most critical segment that needs electrification are semi-trucks, which are 53-footers. Lorries, as you would say. Yeah, I'd call it a lorry. Smaller vans, too, for professionals that transport lots of goods around the world, constantly on the road and constantly burning disgusting dirty diesel. They could be fitted with a lot of batteries if it could be fitted on the trailer. For example, imagine a world where every truck is electrified. No more black smoke. Man, I love your thinking. I love your blue sky thinking as well. Finally, hello to John Ball. The most important transportation segment in the United States is large tractor trailers. They will convert to EV drive as soon as is profitable. And then capacity will ramp up when trucks are electric. Service plazas all along the highways will convert to being high-capacity superchargers, servicing trucks and cars. This will solve the charging infrastructure problem and lead to rapid conversion to EV transport. These high-capacity superchargers will require large banks of batteries. Thank you, John Ball. And that's a very good point. How industry, how the economy, and I will just finish off. I know that your time is precious, so I won't waste it. Economics is usually the best way. Over time, I think it has been proven, over time, over many years, hundreds of years even, probably since the Industrial Revolution, the economy has been one of the most effective and efficient ways to change things en masse and quickly. Now, governments can do it. Regulation can do it. We've seen that with places like China. And so what you want about the politics of Chinese governance, but when they say they're doing something, well, there's no arguing with the government, right? So there's that way of doing it. But equally, economics is a huge way of doing it. And then things will change quickly. And it will be a snowball effect. And the curve will be pretty steep. And so, once trucks become electric, then the infrastructure goes in to support them, then we all benefit from that. And look, fleet managers are not nostalgic about technology. Fleet managers will do what their job is to do, which is to move the most amount of goods for the cheapest amount of money. And if you can do that on electric power, you won't care whether you're running on electric or dino juice or you're putting milk in the thing. Whatever you can do to reduce your costs, as long as you can do it, as long as there's an infrastructure in place and the trucks are of a sensible price to lease in the first place, you'll do it. And then that's going to be one of the really big dominoes, massive dominoes to fall. And then, man, there's going to be no looking back then. Thank you very much for bearing with me on today's podcast. I had fun today. Some good news in there as well. Who'd have thought? NASCAR going electric. Wow. Never thought that would happen. And a great set of question of the week this week. Let's set a brand new question then, and I would love to hear from you over the next 7 days, and I will read out your answers on Sunday. So going back to a story from earlier in the week, £40 billion to the government here in the UK, to the Exchequer, from road tax, from tax on fuel on the roads. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it goes back into paying for roads, it goes into the pot. However, that's a lot of money for governments who often tax petrol and they tax diesel, and they use that money partly for road building schemes. With EVs, that will go. You can't start taxing. You can't add on a tax to someone's electricity bill, because if I have an EV and my neighbour doesn't, and there's electricity coming down the pipe, well, that's not going to work. So you can't add taxes to the home electricity bill, because the little old lady that lives next door to me and boils her kettle, and then there's me running an EV, that's not fair. So you can't add it to everyone's, because it discriminates. So how are we going to replace the lost revenue from the tax that's added to fuel? How are we going to replace the lost revenue from the tax that's added to fuel when we all drive EVs? Bit of an economics question. Economics buzz this week on the podcast. Let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. And you can leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube if you want to. Well, thank you very much to 256 patrons of the podcast. You keep me going. Your generosity, thank you very much. My premium partners of the show, Phil Roberts from Electric Future, Brad Crosby and Avid Technology. My partners, OEM Audio of New Zealand and EVpower.co.nz, David Allen, Paul O'Connor, TryEV.com and Gareth Hamer. and I'll be quick. My executive producers, that is you, Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Ashley Hill, Bjorn Fuchstack, Barry Peniston, Bob Muir from Ginger Computers, Brent Kingsford, Brian Thompson, Brian Weatherall, says Archie Hillow, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Colin Hennessy, Craig Coles, Craig Cooper, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Dan Fares, Darren Bird, Darren Sutton, Yorkshire EVs, Dave Dewson, David Barkman, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, Derek Riley from TheEffects.net, Dirk Rotsatz, and Don McAllister from ScreencastsOnline.com, Enrico Stefanchillo, Frederick Rovick, Free Jewel, he's James, Gene Rubin, Jeff Lowe, George Clargo, Ian Griffiths, Ian Steer, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jeff Irby's, Jerry Allison, Jill Smith, Jim Morris, John Bailey, John Lacey from Click Like Video NZ, John, who is Beardy McBeardface, Kent EVs, John Liddell, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Mason, Carl Mann, Lars Dallager, Lawrence D. Allen, Leszek Gradil, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Marlin Shell, Martin Crofton, Matt Piscioni, Matthew Ellis, Maz Shah, Mia Oppelstrup, Michael Pastroni, Michael Cuffin, Mike Rogers, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, and Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Northern Explorers, Ohad Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Seeger Smith, Paul Shelley, Paul Stevenson, Perry Simpkins, Pete Glass, Pete Gorton, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Pontus Klingbad, Rajiv Narayan, Ralph Jensen, Rene Schneider, Rob Cooling at appledriving.co.uk, Rob Hermans, Robert Grace, Robin Tanner, Rupert Mitchell, Savvy the Cat, Sarah McCann, Sari Kangasodja, Seiki Payne, Steve John, Stuart Hanna, The Limousine Line in Sydney, The Plug Seeker, Tim Gutteridge, William Langhorn and Zach Hurst. There are loads of previous shows online, 608 of them. New ones come at you if you're a subscriber, and come and say hi on the socials by hitting subscribe, by saying hello on Facebook, LinkedIn or Twitter. Got myself all confused then. Have a wonderful week. I'll catch you soon. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.